Welcome to the social media, I should have asked what the name of our, it's intermediate social media panel, discussion panel. That's, I named this, I should know what it's called. I'm Tara Zimmer, I'm the communications director for the Ohio Ministry Network.
I am Brooklyn Tizzano. I'm the digital marketing specialist for Heartbeat International. As of last Friday, I actually just accepted a new job as communications director at Adventure Church, though. So I'm weirdly in between right now.
I am Jackie. I'm from Sandusky. I'm the communications director there at Faith Church.
I am Derek Smith. I am the creative pastor at Simple Church in Reynoldsburg. Suburb here, Columbus.
Okay, we're going to be super awkward and just keep passing this back and forth so that people can listen to this who aren't here. But I just want to kick us off. So my heart behind this, I was just talking to Jackie about how this all started, of doing this panel and how we've started doing these kinds of things, is that we have a lot of amazing people in our network who have a lot of experience and a lot of expertise. And so we are by no means saying we are the experts up here who are going to just tell you how to do all the things. We are here to answer any questions to the best that we can, but we also want to open it up that for you to know that you are welcome to share things that you've learned when people ask questions and share what is going on in your area if you have a better answer to something. That being said, a lot of how we want to just do this is ask your questions. We can stand up here, and so we do an intro to social media. Brooklyn teaches that. We've been doing that the last couple of years, and that's for you're trying to get the basics. We want to get it off the ground. But once you get past the basics, everyone's at a different level. Everyone has different questions. And so we didn't want to just try to assume what all of those things are and then teach something that you're like, well, I already know that, or that's way past where I am. So that's what this is about. This is ask your questions, ask what is going on in your mind, in your ministry, and that's what we're here to discuss and have conversations about. With that being said, so start thinking about what you want to talk about, what discussion you want to foster. I'll just kick us off and share some of the conversations that we've been having about social media. And I'll start with what we just were talking about. Jackie was laughing at my Finstagram. Who's heard of a Finstagram? Does anybody know what that is? Okay. So I am a strong proponent of the Finstagram if you are in the creative space, and I'll tell you why. So a Finstagram is a fake Instagram. Like it's not where you're doing the main things. So both personally, my personal account for Instagram is a creator account as well, and so I get the metrics on all of those things, and I want to make sure what I'm getting helps me with two things. One, with personal ministry that I'm doing and what to do, and two, with communications and what I'm doing here at the network. And that means I need to cultivate what my newsfeed is looking like and what I'm going to see so that I know what's on trend. If I have the greatest sourdough recipes because I have a deep desire to learn sourdough, but absolutely no follow through on that. So I have never even tried, but I think it's super cool to see people try. So I follow some people that do sourdough baking. I am a fan of some musicians that have nothing to do with what I'm doing in communications. Different just random things that I'm following. I just had a baby and I wanted to see all the baby things. So that's all on my Finstagram because I didn't want my main account to suddenly not show me what the trends are in ministry. I didn't want it to start building its own, what it's sending me thinking, oh, well, you're a millennial mom, so this is what you need to know. No, I am a communications director, and I need to know what's happening at our churches. I need to know what's happening and what trending sounds there are of just the random stuff. So who you follow on Instagram is so important, both for your personal account, I say, for research, as well as your business account. So just make sure that you're not just following arbitrary things. And if you want to follow arbitrary things, create a Finstagram. They're the greatest. Just have a little avatar, and I use my middle name on it, and I don't have anyone who follows me. It's locked down, so I just follow things, and that's just for my scrolling fun. That's not where I do other things. So that's my like random piece of advice. Any thoughts or questions on that? I saw a hand.
It sounds like Instagram, but what is it? Can you spell it?
It's fake Instagram. It's Instagram. So it's an Instagram account. Okay. So it's creating a second Instagram account.
Okay.
So I have my Instagram account, Tara Zimmer, and it says I'm a pastor, communications. I follow my friends on that, and I follow strategic people I want to follow, like anyone who's in ministry, things like that. And then my fake Instagram just has my middle name, and it has an avatar, and it's locked down. Like, if people ask me or ask to follow me, I reject it. Like, sorry, that's not what this is about. I have never posted to it. I will never post to that account. That account is simply for me to be able to follow things that are not in my niche, and it not change my my algorithms and how that's functioning.
You just create. How do you
create it? Just the same way you created another Instagram. So you're literally just setting up a second account.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can, Instagram allows you to have multiple accounts, so you can switch between in the app, you can switch what account you're working from at that time, and you can have two that you can double tap between, so, and then the rest can be a drop down at the top where it says your name. You can just drop them down and select. So like, I manage the accounts, but I help manage, oh, she's not in here, I thought Maya, who helps with Heartland, the Heartland account, the OMN accounts, those kinds of things. I manage those as well as my personal account and then my fake Instagram account.
I think seven's the most.
Seven's the most you can manage.
That's where I got stuck at with seven, and I'm like, oh, that's where I'm at. That's what I'm done, I guess.
Yes, I saw a hand.
Facebook algorithms versus Instagram algorithms and posting, and how many posts should you do a week?
Okay. We want to just go down and give some thoughts? I look to Brooklyn because I think she's the expert up here. She's incredible when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I can give some thoughts. Yeah, I think it's less about how often you're posting and more about how relevant your posts are. So we talked about this in my intro to social media. SERPs, search engine results page. I guess really our social media is here to point people to our websites and to obviously give them an insight on who we are. But at the end of the day, we want to point them to our website because that's where the bulk of our information is going to be. And so something really cool that can happen is if you have a very relevant Instagram and Facebook account, if someone is searching on Google, church near me, your Facebook or Instagram account might pull up. And the reason for that is because you're posting relevant information. You're using important keywords. You're using trending hashtags, things like that. And so I wouldn't necessarily say it's like, oh, post three times a week, every single week. But Instagram and Facebook want to see that consistency. They want to see every Sunday you're posting at 9 a.m. and every Wednesday you're posting at 6 p.m. So think less frequency and more consistency.
Anyone else want to speak to that?
I think there's a lot of value in what she said. And the other thing is to consider that when it comes to algorithms, what works today won't work tomorrow. And what works today won't work next week, and vice versa. So if you're just simply chasing what the algorithms are, it's going to be probably a bit of a losing battle. So the consistency really is the key. And also focus on quality as well. You know, again, if you're getting quality content out there that people want to see, that your people are looking for, you have a better chance of people engaging with it, which engagement is always going to be the key to anything. The more people that engage with your content, the better it's going to show up for people who aren't necessarily going to find it naturally. So put out quality content first and don't try necessarily just chase what the algorithms are.
I'll add to that too real quick. I have decided when I first took this job, I was like posting almost, I had a daily on Monday. This is the type of post. It's a recap from Sunday. Tuesday's setting up for Wednesday night. Wednesday is about what, it could be anything, right? And I had these themes for every day. Then I started shifting, almost like shifting the culture of my church, social media as a whole. And I was going based on like, what does our church actually need? What do our people need to see? What are the things? And so now, honestly, sometimes it's only twice or three times a week I'm posting. And the consistency that I post is I always post on Saturday about being pumped up for Sunday. That's like the most consistent thing. And that's the thing that gets the most shares almost every single week. And then in the middle of the week, depending on the week of what just happened on Sunday, it always varies. But I'm always hitting the goal of what do our people need? And so I'm probably like not anti-algorithm, I'm not that, but I don't always pay attention to that. And I just go on, the goal is to reach the people in my church. What ways can I encourage them? And then that's what decides, honestly, for me, what do they need to see? Do they need encouragement this week because the sermon was maybe a little tougher this week? Or do they need a little bit more, you know, do they need people's faces this week? And so it changes like he's saying, all the time, that I just go based on what our church body needs in that moment and even what our community needs to see from our church as well.
And that's really good. Just to reiterate that in another way, when I started, so 2020 is when I started in this position at the network office, and I did the same thing. I had a calendar. I had this color-coded content calendar, and it was great. And it was what we were going to post every day, and it was going to be this type of content, and when we're going to post videos and what type. Well, that is a lot of work for not a lot of payoff. And so when I started looking at our metrics, I started paying attention to what is really resonating with people. And so, for example, some of that is what changes and what ebbs and flows, but a lot of times our people are paying attention to our content. And so they're going to interact with it when they care about it. And so paying attention to what our people are interacting with and building on that. And so we consistently have, right now we actually only have one thing that is all the time. It's 7 a.m. on Mondays. We have a prayer video every Monday. And then the other things, we choose what time we look at when things are trending. We have a Zoho Social. He introduced me to when I first started. Zoho Social tells us the best times to post things. So we keep an eye on when our people are on, and that's when we post what our upcoming events and things like that are. So Synergy, like, we've been promoting that like crazy coming up to Synergy. But that's just our what we have going on. So I would say, again, consistency. Mondays, we're consistent every time, we know we're showing up, and that gets us the best interaction.
I have a two-part question. Number one, I live in an area where we're a very small church. 20, 25 people. So we're trying to grow. Mm-hmm. We are slowly, but it's still getting people in the door, basically. So for an area like mine and a church like mine, how many platforms do you recommend? You got Facebook, Instagram, what else?
I would say look at where your people are. So we actually just had this conversation. So I'll start, and I'll let anyone else who wants to jump in, just because. So our network, network of ministers, that's primarily our audience on our Facebook, is all of our credentialed ministers. And so that is predominantly people men 40 to 60. Men 40 to 60 are on Facebook. So that is where the bulk of our content and our time is spent. But we're starting to trend up in more millennials. Millennials and Gen Z are on Instagram. But that means one day, TikTok, we don't do TikTok. TikTok's a lot of work, and it's not worth the effort for us right now because we don't have enough of our constituency on TikTok. So what we did do is I went in and reserved the name. So we have our handle when that time comes. If TikTok's still hot, we're going to be there. But so I'm always keeping an eye on what are the upcoming things that the next generation's going to be. So where's Gen Alpha going to be? What platforms are we seeing pop up that they're going to be on? We need to be ready for that. But we're not going to do it and put our time in there now. So don't spread yourself thin. Pick where your people are and focus there.
Average age on Facebook is 40 and a half. Average age group on Instagram is ages 16 to 24. So I think it would be better to really just hone in on where your people are. And TikTok, average age is 16. But it's better to hone in on where your people are than put sucky stuff on multiple content on multiple platforms because you don't have time to make good content. So,
yes. You know, back in the day, it's like, you want to get engagement, you got to put a cat video on your page, right? You know, and then, whoa, you got all this engagement and stuff, but it's not relevant to what you're doing. The flip side of that is self-promotion. Like, don't just self-promote, right? You got to balance it, right? And create content that is relevant and creative and deferring. How far would you recommend straying away from your self-promotion type of content, and how far into cat video world would you get? Because I get engaged with cat videos.
You look like you're ready to talk.
Well, we talked on an intro.
Oh.
So I could.
You can go. We'll just back. How about we do this? You go all the way down. Cool. I'm sure we all have something to say on that.
I do marketing for pregnancy centers. I work for Heartbeat. Worked as of a week ago for Heartbeat. We have over 3,000 pregnancy centers across the globe, and so there's a lot of that. Like, how much do we just push our pregnancy center? And we do pregnancy tests and ultrasounds. And the way that I've explained it to pregnancy centers, and the way I explain it in intro to social media, is you've got four categories. You've got informative, inspiring, relatable, and educational. And I recommend breaking it up, 25, 25, 25, 25. Inspiring posts. Anybody, whether they know Jesus or not, is going to like a nice, cutesy, inspiring quote. Relatable. Anybody who knows Jesus or not is going to like your funny cat video or, you know, whatever it is that you post. Informative. That's who your church is. That's when your service times are. And educational. That's continuing the conversation after a sermon, after a teaching. And so I say if you break it up into those four pieces, you hit on each one. Inspiring, educational, informative, and relatable. Break it up into those four, and I think it'll give everybody a nice little taste of what they need. So
the cat's wearing a cross necklace.
It's exactly.
It's the 2-for-1 deal.
Yeah, so I've always looked at it. We went through a season where we were doing a lot of those kind of goofy posts as well. You know, it's, you know, what's your favorite, it's cold, what's your favorite winter snack? You know, whatever that looks like. And those were definitely great for a season, but we also saw that those dropped off pretty dramatically. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I think there is still a time for that and a place for that, but it always comes back to what is the main goal of your social media? Your main goal is to get your audience's attention and not... Essentially, the end goal is to get them to your church, to get them to experience Jesus. So how is that post working? If you can relate that cat video back to those steps, back to Jesus, good on you. Keep doing it if it's working for you. If you can't, you know, it goes back to knowing your audience, know who you're speaking to above all else. What you don't want to do is you don't want to waste your audience time and waste your own time. Because if you're just burning, just trying to come up with something that's working and it's just not working, it's actually going to work against you. Because if they're like, this church just keeps posting this junk, I just don't care, scroll. When there is something that matters, they're going to scroll past it anyway. Because they're going to learn that it doesn't apply to them. So it just doesn't. So you always want to make sure that it's relatable above all else in there. I think that breaking it down is really wise in there.
Do we have any other questions on?
Right. Or whatever, you know, the main page. Or do you have, like, a team that, hey, you can take care of this? Because I know she mentioned everything has to flow
right.
together.
Right.
Everything has to have a consistency. Or,
mm-hmm.
So do you take care of it yourself?
So that's actually a great question because it's just recently changed. We just, I mean, literally within this month just opened up a daycare. And so even their social media, I'm technically the overseer of that. Our kids ministry is just a page on our main church's page. But then our youth page, like I'm overseer of that too. So because I'm overhead of all of that, I do have though, I am in the process of training up, specifically right now, one of the girls that takes pictures for me. She's a teenager, part of the youth ministry. I'm training her up to eventually lead the social media of the youth ministry. And so, but in the meantime, I am doing it all. But I also am in the process of finalizing a branding kit so that although we are Faith Church, these are our colors, these are our fonts, this is the culture we create on social media and with our people and the things we want to portray to our community. We can use all of that branding kit and also apply it to our youth and apply it to our kids and apply it to even, it's called the My Faith Learning Center, our daycare, like, and that can be replicated, but also our youth use a lot of like black and white where our main colors are blue. So I do train people, and that is the goal, is to keep training people to be, that's just our workflow of how we do our church ministry as well as leaders, because we train up leaders and we want to coach leaders to have everything over top. Like, so yes, it's in process that people are being trained to do these things, but there is going to be an organized, you know, there's an organization in that too. No. I, like, that's where the branding kit comes in, because then when I get, her name is Michaela, when I tell Michaela, hey, you were there on Sunday night, I need you to make a recap post in Canva, just make some things, and she'll send it to me. So I'm still the filter in which everything comes through to approve, this is representing Faith Church, this is representing the gospel, this is representing a safe place to find apology, is our slogan, right? This is representing who we are and what we want to portray. And so with that, it just filters through me. But she can still have access to post it, but she has to approve it, per se, through me in the end.
Can I? So I think there's actually a few different approaches you can take that. So my background is Christian Life Center Dayton is where I was on staff for 10 years as a pastor first. So a church of about 2,100, we could not do that. Because that would get bogged down and things wouldn't get posted. So I think that that is a really good strategy. Yeah. But in, depending on if you're a part-time director or if you are a larger church, I think that you need to find people that can be you. So like I always had a post-it note in my office that said, find the next you. And it's who has the eye, who sees things the way that you're going to see them so that you can train them to be you. And so regardless of how you do that, we chose to have, at CLC, the communications department is much more diversified. And so, each department manages their own, but it has to, the graphics and the colors and all that are set by the communications department. And then the individual departments have to stay within those color schemes, graphics, all that. So the brand kit she was talking about, that's really where it's at, is if you create a brand kit and you have people you can entrust, whether they're staff or lay leaders, that they can execute that for you. I think that that is possible. So I think that it can go both ways. Right. It just depends on your size, demographic setup, and who you have working with you. So, yes.
I think for me the answer is just be a mentor, is raise up the next generation to do those things. You know, my daughter's 15 years old, and when I had a couple other people helping me with social media, she was very quick just to go, "Dad, you posted this, right?" "Yeah, how do you know?" She's like, "Because it just sounds like a boomer did it." Now, I'm not actually in that age group, but that's my daughter's cute way of insulting me. But also she could tell, right? Because kids can see fake. And so when I'm posting on behalf of the youth group, she's like, "Yeah, that's not someone in my age that posted that." I was like, "Well, how do you know?" And she'd give me 1,000 reasons, and she was 100% right. So if you want to continue to control the youth and the kids and all those areas, you will get to a point where people will tell. And your youth won't connect with it. If you want your youth to connect with that stuff, have a youth be a part of it. Mm-hmm. And the short answer is, do everything you can to raise up someone else in that group to do it. So because they're the ones that are at, you know, the youth group. So empower them to do it. Hey, take some photos, create some captions. If you're small enough to be able to have it run it filter through you, great. If not, give them the keys to the kingdom and say, "Hey, these are the guidelines, these are the guardrails, and I'm going to trust you to post it." And maybe there's a series or a timeline that you set to where you walk beside them and you help them, you know, side by side, and eventually you let them fly. But I would suggest making sure that those demographics you're reaching are the ones that are actually communicating.
Something my pastor always says is, if you're doing your job, you're not doing your job. And the idea there is that if you are doing the things that are on your job description that are like, hey, manage social media, you're not doing your job, because, you know, we're here to equip the saints. And so how can you equip up that next generation to help you out with that? And like you said, you can see right through it. I'm not 15, but I'm still in that Gen Z generation. And I can see pretty quickly if something like, "Oh, this is definitely an old dude posted this," you know? And so I think that's just, it's just a, I love that saying, like, if you're doing your job, you're not doing your job. And so who can you find, who can you equip to take that over for you?
I'm just going to speak to that again. So millennials, we're old now. So I'm sorry. When it comes to social media, we're not the cool ones. We're not the cool kids anymore. Life's been about us for a long time. But Gen Z and Gen Alpha are here, and they know what's trending. My team, I'm the only millennial on my team, that I lead. And so Maya speaks emoji. She's on my team. So she speaks emoji. I'm very thankful for that because I don't. I appreciate emoji. I appreciate all of the things that she brings to our social media. And I've loved, since she's been on our team, watching how our posts, you can tell that I didn't, you can't tell as much because now I'm starting to learn things from her. So I appreciate that she brings what's new and what she is, what her generation is excited about. So at the very least, I would say surround yourself with multiple generations, because while that is helpful, I also don't ever want to alienate, as I just said, our primary demographic is 40 to 60. We never want to alienate any generation. We joke around about, you know, different generations, this, that, and the other, but we never want to prioritize or make people feel like one generation is better than the other, or a generation is irrelevant or something like that. Like millennials, we like to say, okay, boomer, and apparently Gen Z is saying that to us now. I just want to know, why does Gen Z have so much hate towards millennials? We didn't have that toward Gen X. I mean, we kind of forgot they existed. But anyway, my point is just surround yourself with all the generations, because that's who you're trying to reach. And if you are just one, you are one person. And if you are the only one speaking into your social media and the only generation represented, that's who you're going to reach.
Yes, go for it.
There are a few schools of thought on that. So do you want to talk? You looked like you were starting to say something else. No, not yet. Okay. Does anybody want to start with that?
Well, your cover on your reel doesn't have to be part of your reel. You can add in a separate picture if you are really going with this whole cohesive, your page all looks the same. I say create. I mean, if that's the look that you're going for, I wouldn't say there's a right or a wrong look, but if that's what you've been doing, I would just make a little cutesy Canva graphic that kind of fits all of that and put that in as the cover of the reel, because I do think it would stand out if you've been doing that for a while and everything's all looking the same and then you have this one. Another option too is you can set it, I can't guarantee what this will look like, but you can set it to not show up on your home or on your profile grid. Thank you. That's the word I couldn't find. My husband owns a company, and that's what they do with it. They set it so that it doesn't show up on the grid, because they've gone with this whole cohesive look of like, this car needs posted like this, this car needs posted like this. And so reels aren't going to fit that. So let's not have it physically on the grid. So.
Yeah, I would agree. There's a few. That's one of the ways you can do it, of just not have it on the grid. You can create your own graphics. Or if some people have like a, this is the style of reel we do. Like if you're doing the trendy reels, those are going to look different and you're probably going to want to go with a cover that's consistent. But if you're doing reels, Elise Myers is the person coming to my mind, but you know, like she has a style and she does things in a certain way every time. And so there are people that do those kinds of reels that you know what to expect. This is the way they're going to present the content. And so they don't need a cover, because the reel and the way that they set the reel, they set their environment for that reel where they filmed it, is their look and is their aesthetic. So that can be a way if you don't want to have to create a graphic, but that also limits what the way you're presenting your content and what you're presenting. Any other? Okay. We had three hands go up at the same time. Let's go back there.
I know we've talked about brand kits
So a brand kit for each ministry. Yes. So I'll give you an example for OMN, and I'm sure we all have different, but at OMN, there are a couple outliers because there was no brand kit when I started, and everybody was in charge of their own look and things. And so if you notice, all of what I brought it into is everybody has a circle, so we all have that same, it can fit. All of our logos are the same shape, even if they're different, and then all of the drivers, like front seat drivers for Ohio for Jesus, all of those are the state of Ohio. So that we just kind of honed in on those two looks for our graphics. And then our color schemes are different for every single one of those. So everyone has their own brand kit of what colors you can use, what shade. So like OMN Maine, we have three different shades of blue. We have two different shades of gray. We have we have white and we have black. And those are our colors. And we have all the different hex codes, everything that you would use and every graphic you would use, we copy and paste those. So we're not trying to, is it close enough? We have the exact colors for everything we use, because if someone's like, I'll try to match it, that's when you get like awkwardness. And so giving them that sheet, and what I make sure everyone has the bare minimum is it's my one sheet color guide, because if you're creating graphics and the color guide has its logos and colors, so it's one sheet for Ohio for Jesus, one for OMN. It has all of our logos and the variations, because you should have an icon, one that goes across the top like a header, one that's stacked, like you should have all the different versions of your logo, and then all of those colors, and we have all of the RBG, whatever that is. Yes, that one, the hex code, all of those, all in there so that they can just use that when they're creating. So if you're having them create graphics, that's what I would use. I also have a language guide, so you know what words we use. So like Pastor John is my boss, and he has an aversion to the word shift, because that can very easily be misunderstood. And so let's just not. So you'll notice he uses the word pivot a lot. And so there are just little things like that, that the language we try to use, we want to make sure we're reiterating Ohio for Jesus. So you'll notice if we're talking about worship, we're always gonna say, make sure we're spending this time worshiping and seeking the Spirit, because seek the Spirit is a key result area of one of our drivers. So that language that we wanna make sure is constantly reiterated, that's in that guide.
To add to that too, we're still in process of really finalizing ours, but ours is kind of where, like, our colors are three shades of blue, right? That's our church colors. But then the youth, like, they'll use their logo as just black or just white, or, you know, based on that. And so they kind of take what we've decided is kind of, you know, our slogan is safe place to find and follow Jesus. If we're doing that in all of our posts, right, on events and stuff, we might use the Faith Youth logo as the blue because it matches the coloration of the event. But for youth, when they're posting their own stuff, they have their own culture that's kind of set. Even with their filters that they use is... But the goal is to create it to be a safe place and find and follow Jesus, right? So we keep that as our foundation for everything that we post. So then no matter what it is, the filter is going to represent that. But youth can have their own filter, their own style look of how they're doing things. But at the end of the day, there's still a uniform, like how she's saying everything is circles, right? So there's still a uniform, but they still have their own logo look type thing.
I just want to say one other thing with that. So when we say a look, we're not saying it has to be like, this is a good example. So you can go off brand a little bit when you're going like merch or things like that. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure you don't, I think some people get locked in like, we can only put our logo on this. Like we went old school. We threw back to like, I don't know, 1980 and put that logo on there. So, and we used a different font than we usually use to do that. Like it's a grunge font. So you can do that when you're getting creative in those kinds of things, but not when you're doing it on your social media, like individual posts. I think that's where it gets chaotic feeling if you do it there. Mm-hmm. But youth ministry, for example, if you look at OIM, they are mostly black and white. I think that's most youth ministries these days. They're mostly black and white, and that's not the rest of the Ohio Ministry Network and how we do things.
You have super cool branding. So
ours is a little different. we do have a brand guide that I developed, you know, 8 years ago. But our social media, I run a little bit differently. What I do is everything's very seasonal. We are a very series-based church. So when we get into a preaching or sermon series, everything we do on social media reflects that series. So you could call it a season that we're in. So like right now, when we just came out of like a Book of Ruth, everything is, our colors for that is blue and gold. That's not our church colors. Gold is gold and black. But we'll get into another series where it's purple and green or whatever it is. And then our entire social media kind of flexes to resemble that. So it may look very consistent for a month if we're in a four-week series. We get into a two-week series, and it's only going to look consistent for 2 weeks. So ours is a little bit different in those things. And then when we're doing photos of people, I do use, you know, Instagram filters or things that actually go to warmer or cooler tones that still reflect those colors. So it doesn't have to be, you know, one brand, one look that you use forever. It can flex. It's really a matter of opinion at that point.
Yeah. That's a really good point. I like, so if you look at our account right now, it's all orange, or yellow and gray and white. It's synergy. So I think that that's okay to have, like, but it's still branded and cohesive. So it's not, we decided to have, like, this shade. As I said, shades are important. Don't just pick five different shades. You want to be your shades every time you use it. But it can be that event or that thing. So that's really good.
Also, if you're struggling to find, like, some shades, there's a website called Cooler, COOLORS. You can throw in what, like, maybe you just have one color or two colors and you're like, I want to know some others that will look good with this. You can put in those colors and just kind of shuffle through, and it will give you some colors that just kind of like fit cohesively with the two colors or one color, whatever it is that you already have. If you are looking to try and expand, like, you know, your logo only has one color and like purple will look ugly with this, so what is something that I need? You know what I mean? So I think it's COOLORS. But if you can't find it, type color palette generator and it'll be the first one that pops up.
That's a really good resource. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. I would also say fonts are important, choosing a font. And there's a, if you have a font, like you came in and you're like, oh, that's a font that's already being used and I don't know how to match it. There are generators like that. What the Font is the one that's used the most. I know it, but that's what it's called. Whatthefont.com, and you can just take a picture and upload it, and it'll tell you like what that font is. We'll go here first.
Do we have anyone in network that does a consultation that can check out an account? You know, obviously paid consultation. They can check it out, kind of give tips. Like, I've been doing social media for a while, but I have no idea how effective it is. It's just kind of like maintaining the thing, and so somebody who can look in there and be like, okay, this is what you're doing wrong, this is what you're doing right. Do we have somebody you recommend?
Can I have a quick public conversation with some of my team? So we are in the process of developing regional drivers for, so the way that the state office is set up is Pastor John has the drivers that work for him, and so communications is a driver, and we are in the process of developing those for every region, and then hopefully they'll eventually start building teams to be able to be a resource to get you connected to people and help do some of those things as well. Currently, I think it would depend on the capacity of your regional driver. You are in Dayton still? Yes. Yes, I was just saying, I was just making sure that's where you still were. Yes. So Brent Cox would be the one to talk to. So we will have a website rolling out soon with those resources, but that is what we're building is we finally have 5 of the 7 drivers in place. And so we had our first meeting yesterday. So that's how new we are. But the goal of those drivers is to be a resource to all of you. And they will be, they'll be working with the presbyters for the 8 regions and just connecting with those area meetings and regional meetings that we have. And when there are those questions, being basically me to all of our regions. So Brent Cox is where to start. And as we develop and find that, give him that idea, and maybe Dayton's the place we start doing audits for social media first and start building that, because every region's doing something different and of what they need right now.
That's exciting. Yeah,
I'm super excited. He's your driver for here.
Oh,
yes.
It's very important to have accurate data and timely data. Do you have a schedule for intentionally or going out and archiving and deleting old posts that could be confusing or out of date or anything like that?
I don't typically archive content unless it doesn't jive with who we are anymore. Which doesn't happen very often, because people like to see the history and it gives you credibility that you've been around for a while. So if you go back on our page, we think we've had a page since 2011. We've got content back to 2011. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. What about use of AI with content development? Yay. What are your guys' thoughts? Good sources, bad sources?
I'm super excited about AI.
Because I've been utilizing it for some of the stuff that we're doing.
Yeah, I think if you can monitor it and keep it close, I think it can do wonders. We use it quite a bit. I'm not a good writer. I'm terrible at grammar. Grammarly is my best friend and my pastor's. And so we use AI quite a bit to write a lot of our captions, because it's just something I'm not good at. And I had a social media coordinator who moved to Vegas last year, and so it's been falling back on my plate a little bit more. And I'm not good at it, and I recognize that. So I've used AI, and I'll say, hey, write a post that, you know, says we're having Easter next week, and these are the cool events that are going on, and it writes something that seems really clear and consistent. And of course, I check it and I'll make some tweaks and things like that, but there's power in that. So it's one of those things that with new tools is not to be afraid of them, but definitely keep them a little bit closer to the vest and don't just trust everything it says, because there's also been some mistakes. For video AI stuff, there's a thing called Opus Clip. I love with a burning passion. It also
Opus Clip for what?
Opus Clip, OPUSCLIP. You can literally take your, so we take our video that we upload to YouTube on Sunday. I post it in there. It will give me 20 clips that it takes out, writes captions, writes everything. It posts it automatically. And because of the way that it's, Opus Clip? OPUSCLIP. There is a cost involved in that. To me, it's worth it. I think it's like $100-some for the year, and it is incredibly beneficial. And what the weird thing I found about it, I'm not a big algorithm guy, because I stopped trusting a long time ago. It does something when you're posting through it that everything I post through it does so much better than it should. I think it's just because they have it in there. It's AI based again, and so the way stuff's written, the way that it's clipped, it knows what is trending, and it kind of does that for you. So it's a powerful tool.
It does, like, tracking and stuff, too.
It does. It's really powerful tool.
One of the YouTubers, like, talking about
I saw it on TikTok, and I was like, this can't work. And I used one of their trials, and I fell in love with it, and I've been using it ever since.
Okay, cool.
So.
Yeah, you can do
$10
a month for a year.
Yeah, I would say another way, if you're doing like graphic content for AI, a quick way to generate content is ChatGPT is my favorite currently for text. And so you can say, it learns you, so you can teach it about your network. I teach it about the network. You can teach it about your church, teach it about the language you use. So doing some different things so it starts to gather that language, and then tell it to create 52 captions for posts about what fill in the blank, and then it will generate those captions. You can put them in a spreadsheet and then go to Canva, create whatever you need. You can upload the spreadsheet to Canva, and then you can merge that and put it, and I'll post it onto through Canva onto your social media. We don't personally do that at the network, but it is one of the fastest ways to just generate some content if you don't have a lot of time.
City that I was trying to rank for, and so I literally 15 second video. I put one caption into ChatGPT and I said, change this up 42 different times, and I posted every single one. And it was, but those were to also unique videos that were on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like there's power there. But I guess my comment/question is, do you feel like AI is in some ways going to level the playing field, but in other ways you can use it as a tool to kind of make yourself stand out?
I mean, personally, I think it's a tool. It's going to sound like the way you train it to sound. AI, I mean, yes, you can get some of the similar content generated from it if you're using things like, one of the ways that I think AI is powerful is translation. So we have a lot of people in that speak different languages in our network, and we are trying to figure out, we're starting to experiment with using AI that can make it look like Pastor John speaks French or whatever language it is that we need. We've just recently created a policy on our AI content that we feel the need to disclose that. If it's beyond like text and things like that, we're not going to for our like captions, but when it's a video, we want to make sure people know that Pastor John didn't suddenly learn French overnight and that they understand this is AI generated if there are mistakes and things like that. So I think giving credit to it is important, having a policy and parameters around it so people aren't using it as a saying, oh, I'm this incredible graphic designer and I created all of this, and really they just went into the new Adobe thing and told it, give me a lighthouse on a beach, and got that. Excuse me. So I think yes and no would be, what about?
So I wanted to throw out just a scenario that I had recently. Church is having a major event. What would you recommend for like how far out to begin posting on social media? And then like as it gets closer. So like say for example, Synergy. It's a ways out, so you probably posted something on, and then as it got closer, you made it posted. So could you give me just an idea of
Sorry, I don't know what just happened. My throat got dry all of a sudden. I can just tell you what we do, and then I'll pass it on. We have to have all of our stuff together 6 months in advance. 1 year out, we set the date and all the big things, and we do a pre-launch. So you'll know the dates usually at the current event. That's different today because we don't know where we're going to be next year. We outgrew this. If you haven't noticed from some of the sessions you've been in, we've outgrown being here. So, we usually do 1 year, we nail those things down, and then 8 months, we start promoting. 6 months, we kind of kick that up a little bit, and 4 months, we open registration.
Currently, obviously, being in a church, Christmas and Easter are your big, big ones, and then if you have summer stuff, because this role is new to me, I have now, like, our Easter stuff was already, we figured out about 2 months ago, about a month and a half ago, we got our graphics made, everything's mailed out, everything's ready to go. I just am posting literally as of like last weekend, this past Friday, on Facebook, making Facebook events. And now this coming Sunday is the first Sunday where we're really like baptizing everybody in Easter. And so everything's going to be pretty much blasted, everything that's going on the next week. But also, I think Christmas we do a little bit farther out, too. So it just depends on
the event. But
the event. And
what,
okay.
Just like, what would you recommend for that? If the church is doing a VBS.
Easter.
Yeah, about a three-month-ish.
I would say start at Easter for summer programs because you have people who don't come to your church any other time.
That's true. That is true.
Oh, I never thought of that. Okay.
So come to
I gave you our timeline just because that's we're a different animal. How we do ours. But when I was in church ministry, I've done kids ministry, youth ministry, all the things. I'm a lot older than I look. We would do, what are those strategic times people come? So if you're here at Christmas, we need to be telling you about Easter because you're probably going to come at Easter. We need to tell you about whatever our next thing is that's going to get you back here. So Christmas, we need to have what's our big event that we're going to have because we want to keep drawing you in. Easter, we want to have what's our next big event that's going to draw you in because we want to turn you into a regular attender, not a Christmas and Easter attender.
Well, that just changed my whole perspective about what I'm doing.
For us,
have you seen fruit from that?
Yes.
Wow.
For us, I mean, those big events are definitely something that you go a little bit further out. Our general rule of thumb is we do 30, 10, 5, 1, or 35, 10, 0. So if it's a general event of a going, we start exactly 30 days out, we do another heads up at 10, we do another one at 5, and one at 0 the day of. That's our general rule of thumb. But the other thing, which isn't really your question, but I think is important here, is we have an 80% rule at our church, which means if that content doesn't apply to 80% of our congregation, it's not going to get shared on our main page. if it is something that is a very small niche, something that's going on and it applies to 20% or fewer, we will use it on other platforms. If it's a smaller youth event, then it'll just go to, we have a very small youth group, then that goes just to the youth page. It doesn't necessarily go to our main page. That helps us kind of disseminate what content we're sharing for the scheduling, if that helps at all.
I like Canva. Canva has templates. They have Canva has real templates.
Okay. I think I used a real template, but I don't know if they have like a subtitle generator.
Oh, not subtitle. Okay, sorry. Yeah. Adobe Premiere is a good subtitle generator. And then CapCut
is fire.
DaVinci Resolve.
Yes. DaVinci Resolve. Those are good.
That's
yeah.
what I would use Opus for. Which would
Opus. Yeah.
That does all of our reels as well.
Okay.
One more question. So I do some graphics and some photography for our social media, but I think we're looking into some new photography equipment. Do you guys have any suggestions for cameras, lenses?
This is a very subjective question. Every photographer has their preference. So if you ask me personally, so photography was a side gig I used to have. I'm a Nikon girl. So there are some harsh feelings between the different. So it depends on what your primary thing is. I did photography predominantly. So Nikon has a faster shutter speed. So you're going to get crisper things when it's action shots. You're going to get crisper shots. So that's why I liked Nikon. Video was secondary for me. If you're doing video, you want Canon or Sony. In my opinion, those are the ones we use for the network, our Canon and Sony. I'm going mirrorless these days, so we just invested in a new Sony, I can't remember, S7, I think, and it is a mirrorless. It's awesome. The lenses are super pricey, so we're doing like one lens a year to rebuild. So by the time we have all the lenses we need, it won't be a good camera. No. Yeah. Any other... Who wants to give their hot take on a camera you like? Oh yes, Canon guy back there.
Sony, actually. However, I'll say this: honestly, all cameras for churches, unless you're looking for like broadcast stuff, are basically going to be the same thing because you're not going to know the difference between 10-bit
That's true.
Footage, S-log footage, not gonna, you don't know the things. So just get any camera that can take a picture and then get.
That's
and
good.
Make sure it's low. Of course, like 2.8, 1.8, you can afford it. Don't waste like $10,000 on a camera.
No. Yeah. It's very easy to get bogged down in that. That's really good advice. Is that DeAndre? I think. Yeah, I can only see at the top of your head. It's like that. So yes, I agree. Don't get bogged in. That is great advice to just choose the lenses that you really need two lenses and just get those lenses and get good quality, but it doesn't get a good brand. So don't get like, I don't know, some random off brand, but you don't need to get the top of the line of anything to get quality. Dustin.
How do you guys juggle paid advertising, specifically Facebook, trying to boost posts?
I'm going to let these guys speak to it because we don't.
We do it for our big stuff. Like we're going to do it for Easter. We're going to do it for Christmas. We do like around Christmas time, we do this thing called Finding Baby Jesus. And it's kind of like a walkthrough experience, but we do it in our downtown Sandusky area. So we make that, we'll pay towards that. And it's not usually like hundreds of dollars.
How much do you pay and how many people?
Mandy's the one that usually does that, but I don't think that we'll probably, based on our community, we'll probably hit, I think it's like 500 to 1,000 or something like that, I believe. I don't do it all the time, but we are going to be doing it soon, so then I can get back to you and tell you, but yeah.
You said you don't do?
No, we do not do advertising. We just didn't, like, not paid advertising on Facebook. We just found that it wasn't successful for our area.
Okay, then I'll talk to... Oh.
So my experience is in, I would say, more of like a business side for digital marketing, and it's very all-encompassing. I have a lot of experience in social media, but I also have a lot of experience in web development, SEO, Google Ads, things like that. I would say put your money in some Google Ads first, if you aren't already, and see how that works for you. I personally would not recommend the Google Ad Grant. They make it seem like it's this really incredible, amazing thing, and you're going to get $10,000 for free for a month. Google does not care about you if you're running a Google Ad Grant. You might get $20 a month, and I'm like not even being dramatic with that. So I would recommend throwing some money into a Google Ads campaign, $50 a month. You can do some research, figure out what the average cost per click is for your area, for like church near me. I don't know, whatever. I know pregnancy words, so I'm thinking like pregnancy test, am I pregnant, things like that. You can do some advertising, figure out what the average cost per click is for those words, take that cost per click, multiply it by 5, then take that number that you get, multiply it by 30.4. That'll give you what you want your monthly budget to be to really get the good reach. And so it's the average cost per click multiplied by 5, multiplied by 30.4. And that's how you're going to get your good number for what your monthly budget should be. I would also say, and this is kind of more of a broad thing, just from where my experience is with more digital marketing expertise, not just strategically social media, if your website sucks, like this isn't, like this is so far, like you shouldn't be here yet. Like if your website's not optimized for mobile, if you're not running SEO audits, if you don't have a Google My Business listing, if you're not backlinking SEO help, like this isn't, like social media stuff isn't where it should be yet. And so I would really, really recommend making sure, I guess for everybody, that like your website is where it needs to be. Like if I pull up your website and it's not optimized for mobile, if text is cut off, if like at least for our audience that we do for Heartbeat, it's seriously like 99% of people come to our websites through our phone. So it's like if your text is cut off, if I have to zoom in to see your text because you didn't mobile optimize it, like come on now. Like social media is not where you should be spending your time just yet, because it's, we talk about it at Heartbeat, it's a three-legged stool. And so social media is great. It's a great tool, but it's you're wasting your time, you're wasting your money if your website sucks. If it's not optimized for mobile, if you don't have a Google My Business listing. And so we got to make sure all the legs of the stool are all working together. And so that was kind of my like digital marketing tangent as a whole, but yeah, just making sure your website is good before you waste your time diving into this.
You literally started talking about, I was going to ask a question to everyone in here, if you would be willing to be transparent and raise your hands. So we start planning for Synergy in April. We start setting what our sessions are going to be for the next year. And one of the things that I have been wondering is, would people be interested in a session where we talk about optimizing your website and what is important for website development? That is something, okay. And also, just so you know, if you are like, our website is terrible and needs some help immediately and a year is too long to wait, I built a generic website for churches that has all the basic pieces that you need. It's Squarespace, which is a super simple platform. It's $18 a month to maintain it. And I am happy to either help you or connect you with someone who can help you. We would transfer that website to you, change it to your colors, your logos, your pictures, all of that. And then you would have a mobile optimized basic website. It's not going to be anything fancy, but it's going to be something that doesn't turn people away. Which a website can do very easily, that we would do that for you. And then you just would, it would be on a trial. So when we would send it to you, you would be the one that would pay for it. So it's $18 a month if you pay annually versus monthly. It's $33 a month if you pay monthly. So if you're interested in that, communications, I'm going to give you an email address to write down, communications@ohioministry.net for that and any other questions you have after this.
Just a follow-up question, my earlier question. Now that website, are you a believer of yes, archive, delete the old stuff?
Yes. Okay. So, do you want to hear the saddest stat I learned? Your website is old after 2 years. Like, if you aren't revamping your website every 2 years, you are, yeah, who has that money in ministry? So our website's 4 years old, and I'm like.
Please be gone.
So Google indexes websites. We call them creepy crawlies at Heartbeat because it is kind of creepy crawly what they do. They index websites, and what they're doing is they send their creepy crawlies through your website to make sure that your content is relevant and up to date, so that when people are typing in their search queries in the Google search bar, they're like, oh yeah, this church has information like that. If you haven't updated your website in 2 years, 3 years, at Heartbeat we say every 2 years we update everybody's website for free. So if you're not updating your website every 2 years, Google is not re-indexing your website because there's nothing new to re-index. And so they just start to kind of bring you down further down that SERP that I mentioned earlier, that search engine results page. And that's not what we want. And so making sure content is relevant, making sure it's mobile optimized, making sure all of your buttons work and your links work and it's not taken to 404 errors. So...
No, so here's an example of how you know. One of the things that I was like, oh gosh, we really have to update some of the things on our website. We shared some, if you're a credentialed minister and you're in our ministers and spouses Facebook group, you may have noticed Sarah House posted something about Synergy, and it showed you last year's content. That is why. That is why you want to make sure that you are doing that regularly. And I'm like, I am so sorry. So we are working on, we update our website in the sense of like our content is always up to date. We change our videos out so that it's always fresh. Like this is last year's events that are on there, not 2 years ago events that the videos are and things like that. But you really have to actually update every single page, and like all of your content needs to be regenerated, not just replaced every 2 years.